And now I would like to introduce our main speaker for the evening, Michaeline F. from Escondido. I'm sorry.
I know, no deal. Hey, everybody, my name's Michaeline. I had to think for a minute. My name's Michaeline, grateful alcoholic. I'm obsessed with this podium and the design up here. I'm sorry. So I've completely reconfigured it, and I've drawn it out for you. And then you can do it for next week if you want. They went, what is the deal? I don't get this. And then the thing's way over here. And so I thought, you know, so I'd bend over and you could look down my shirt. I mean, I don't really understand. Yeah, like that'll happen. Too old for that. Sorry, Pam. I didn't mean to embarrass the women I sponsor and the women they sponsor that are here tonight. And I want to welcome the newcomers and thank the old-timers and wish a happy birthday to the birthday people. That's very, very cool. And the 90-day token lady and Mark for being here and the other Mark for sharing his story. That was awesome. Because they do that. They say, share what you were like, what happened, and what you're like now. Not what you did, or what you stole, or what you were really like, and then what really happened, and then what you're really like now. And I almost drank it 6 years sober because I started sharing what I was like, what happened, and what I wished I was like, or what I thought I should be like, or what I thought you wanted me to be like. And it was a very dangerous period, so this is the real show up here. What I was like, what happened, what I'm really like now. And some days I'm walking hand in hand with the master, and other days I'd like to move out of state and start over in AA in Arizona or something. You know, it's like, oh, my God, it's embarrassing to be me. But I try not to make AA look bad, ever. I do, but I try not to. I just wanted to say that. Not really bad, but, you know. I've been sober since June 30th, 1982, and relapse is not mandatory. Just an FYI. Thought I'd throw it in there. It isn't. You know, it's an option. I recognize that. But I waited till I was done drinking and near death and overshot the high bottom window, which I didn't know about the bottom level thing here. You know, or I would have gone for a higher bottom. I mean, how pathetic did I have to get? You know, no, let's go down to pathetic and enjoying, you know. But seems to be a good way to get here. And I was going to, you know, the nun and the altar boy. And I grew up in Phoenix and went to St. Agnes and was going to be a nun because that's what little girls did it when they were still virgins. You know. You know, every little Catholic, right? So I was going to be a nun. And I, you know, this is the truth. It would not have mattered who raised me. Charles Manson and his family or Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I have problems. And what I was like was I was driven by 100 forms of fear, self-pity, self-seeking, and self-delusion from the age of 5. I remember being weird. And it's not paranoia, but it's true. I was off already. So my environment and its effects and all that sort of thing may or may not have had a major influence in my life. I don't even care. I got sober out here in East County, and they didn't care about your inner child. They cared about your inner adult. That's the one that's missing, you know, just kind of, hello. And that was a perfect way for me to get sober, you know. Not around fluff and puff. And I got sober out there in the perfect arena for somebody like me. And, you know, I had alcoholism a long time before I picked up a drink. Alcoholism is described in this book especially on page 62 and 63. I have that. I had that for forever. And it was going to be a long time before I got a drink. And I got a solution. And so what I was decided the solution to my alcoholism very early on was to become a nun. And that was going to be a safe place for me to be. And I love the colors. I've always loved black and white. And I like the ambiance. I like the candles. I like the confessional. I loved the whole thing. I thought it was a trip. I really liked kind of going there, being that, you know. And our order was the Blessed Virgin Mary's. We called them BVMs. And I was headed to the mother house. And I had my first drink instead. And the next day I couldn't be a nun. And it was over. See how you share in a general way? Pam kind of was the leader at my 25-year party last June. And the story I'm telling, the girls I sponsor reenacted my whole story. And they did it with costumes and everything. And it was really, and they made, when I get done telling my story, they did this whole thing. It was a trip. And as I was going to be a go-go dancer, and then I had my first drink, a nun, I had my first drink, became a go-go dancer instead. Pam switched costumes. She came out in a nun outfit, then she stripped off and was a go-go dancer. And she's good, too. For a blonde, you know, I mean, kind of from the Motown generation, but... You know, everything's funny now, but at the time I was a very intense go-go dancer. I was, you know, minimum wage then was 65 cents an hour. And making $4 an hour cash plus tips was being a millionaire. And this was my plan because I'm not really cut out to be a go-go dancer. I am cut out to be like Donna Reed. She is my idol. I love Donna Reed. She's not... Donna Reed, old actress from the 50s. Donna. Anyway. It's okay. You don't have to know all the people I know. It's funny. So at 15, I got on an airplane. I wore a Jackie Kennedy suit. She was very popular at the time, and I wore Jackie Kennedy suit and got my hair done at the place. And I was 15, and I was a dork. I was a complete dork dressed up like an adult, you know. And I decided to come to California and get a baby and a husband and make a meatloaf and all this stuff Donna Reed was doing, you know, because I liked that. I loved that on TV. I loved the mommy and the daddy and the puppy and the baby and Order Parents magazine. I wasn't even sure what to do next, but there'd be another episode, you know, and then I'd learn a new thing to do and have another baby. And that was just how I lived my life. I wasn't a big drinker then. I never went to high school because high school looked annoying. It just really wasn't going to fit my thing. And I started City College because I realized I was going to have to work and do some other things. And college didn't look as stressful. So I went there instead. And I've always been a liar. I mean, tonight I'm going to tell you mostly the truth. But, you know... as I remember it to be. But that's really what I was like. I was a new game plan every other week, and it was always good stuff. I never thought, I'm going to have a bunch of really cool kids and live in the right house in La Mesa and serve on the right committees and have the right kids and scouts. One of my oldest son's almost 40, and his soccer coach is here from La Mesa. We knew each other long before AA, and we lived in the right neighborhood. And did the right things for our kids and all those kinds of things. And, you know, my idea of a good relationship, though, is a good-looking alcoholic with potential. And I was going to be the pathetic Al-Anon and martyr out. And he would be the bad person, and then I would forgive him. And then we'd get a couch. I mean, that's basically kind of how we live, you know. And I got some good furniture out of this, you know, marriage and great kids. But that's just how we did things. I never think I thought that I would have alcoholism. I don't really like alcoholics, that they're very, very selfish and they'll hurt a lot of people that really like them. And they're going to make a mess out of most things, whether they're high bottom or low bottom. They're going to do some damage, and that would have never appealed to me. I had a good game plan in place. Fortunately and unfortunately, I've always had alcoholism. I've always needed a solution. It was just the solution I used a lot of times didn't involve a chemical. I was going to be president of everything in La Mesa. And I was going to have the most kids, and I was going to serve on the right committees and do everything that was right. And, you know, when that marriage ended, I thought I was the only divorced person in La Mesa. I mean, everybody now was going to know that I'd only been pretending to be an adult. I'd only been pretending. I really had no skills for being an adult. I mean, ever. I just was doing whatever they did on TV. That's what I was doing. And now I didn't know what to do next. I didn't even know divorced people. This was not going to work for me. And my girlfriend across the street was the one that talked me into having a little bit of wine after work to unwind before I got showered to ballet and dance and gymnastics and this one to soccer and this one here and this one. Wah! You know, I called it the second shift. And she said, you know, you need a glass of wine or something to relax. And that was really what happened. And I had a glass of wine, which I didn't really care for wine. I didn't really care for drinking. But, you know, I was trying to be nice. You know me. Trying to be nice. And she was telling me it would help me relax. And it did. I don't know if you've ever drank, but it'll take the edge off, you know, and I felt a little more relaxed. She was very good, this neighbor. She didn't have alcoholism, but she's on to something here, you know. I'd have a couple glasses of wine and then go run kids everywhere, and I did feel better. I kind of felt renewed, you know, ready. I'm going to get my game back, you know. I can figure this out. Just... And then pretty soon, it's like, screw those kids, you know. Let somebody else carpool. I've been carpooling for 20 years, you know. Screw meatloaf, pizza, order a pizza, you know. And leave me alone. I mean, I'm trying to relax here and, you know, trying to relax, people. You know, and, you know, hindsight, like you said, I thought... They were getting more and more selfish and demanding and picky, you know, and just, you know, kids can get. And they'd ask me what was wrong, and I said I had no idea, but I was sure it was their father's fault, you know, because I really didn't know. But all of a sudden, I was losing interest. I was losing interest in everything that used to be more natural and easier was too much work. And it was taking up too much of my time. I recognized I'd been obsessed with all of these kids. My mom had died when I was young, and I'd taken in my 8-year-old sister at the time. She's 2 years older than my oldest daughter. And I just thought, you know, I need a break. And I think what I thought was I was going to take a break and then be back. And I have the progressive disease of alcoholism, and when you add a drink to that, I'm not coming back. I didn't know. I had no idea that I was now going to go and do and not be able to stop. It would have never even occurred to me to stop. It would have occurred to me to modify my drinking, which was what I tried to do in the final few months before I quit. And what happened was I went from good wine to bad wine. I went from bad wine to foo-foo drinks. I went from foo-foo drinks to hard stuff. I went from hard stuff to beer. I went from ice-cold mug with salt on the rim with two green olives iced beer to hot Budweiser in a can to hot Budweiser in a can with a cigarette butt in it. I called it flexible, but I realized, yeah, I'm a pig. You know, I was like, whatever, too. You know, we're drinking with my new friends, Brute Bill and Toothless Addy. I mean, it's just, that's how I get. And I got to be honest with you, I liked it. I liked being a drunk. I didn't like that I liked it. It's very easy. I do H&I still at detox, and I think, don't get off the mat. Pace yourself. It ain't easy out here. You know? If you look at the H&I panel, we're all stressed. These drunks that just got off the mat don't look that stressed to me. They don't look good, but they do not look like stressed people. We, H&I pedals, look stressed. We got 180 things going on. We're fitting this in because we have to be a service. And we're busy. You know, we're busy now. We're busy. I think drunk is not that stressful, people. Sober's stressful. Sober's always been my problem. Drunk has never been a problem for me. I'm a natural at it. I kind of like it. You're useless. Nobody expects much. And I like that, you know. Leave me alone. Now I'm in demand, you know. It's like pay a bill and go to work and all that. And I think, Christ, what did we drink? You know, it's like I went out, you know. If I could have stayed drunk, I wouldn't have gotten sober. But on June 30th, 1982, it was bad. It had gotten progressively bad. It had gotten progressively beyond anything I could have imagined. And in the middle of the night, I asked God to help me if he was there. My disclaimer. Not sure you're there. I'm not even sure about all this anything. But if you're there, kick in because it's bad. And he did. A lady named Flo 12-stepped me. Take me to my first meeting. It was just out in Lakeside not too long ago, and we went by this street called Channel Road. And Thursday night, Channel Road, Lakeside was my very first meeting. My very first meeting. And Flo 12 set me, and it was a long-ass day. I don't know if you've ever been sober all day, but it's long. You know, if you still have money and still have some alcohol, and you called AA, given them the information, which is where you live, said you'll join AA, then you realize you've overreacted. But they're coming to get you. It's going to be a long day. Tug of war. I don't know about this. This is hard. No, call somebody and I'm going to do this. I want to be an AA. No, alcohol's good. I like drinking. I don't want to quit. I mean, just don't want to drink. No, make the phone call. Alcohol's bad. I want to be an AA. It was long. I was worn out. Exhausted by that first meeting. And some guy named Joe had 30 days, and I didn't know your little routines here. And Joe said he had been sober 30 days, and everybody clapped. I thought, Christ, you got to know your name, how long you've been sober, say you're an alcoholic. I mean, it was like pressure, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you know, sweaty, yucky, 3 hours to put on a little bit of makeup because you're sweaty, and it's not good. And I said, my name's Michael Lane, I'm an alcoholic, and I've been sober 11 hours. Well, they loved it. They get off on hours. I had no idea. If you don't know that they're going to be excited about hours, and you're just kind of like, duh, kind of embarrassed by 11 hours, they totally loved it, practically a standing ovation. You know, all right, you know. I thought, geez, you know. And people were not clapping anymore for me anywhere. Anywhere. Nobody else was proud of me. Nobody else got me. I didn't get me. But you guys got me. All I had to say was I was an alcoholic. I hadn't drank for 11 hours. And tell you my name. And I got to join that night. And everybody was really proud of me. Totally excited. I joined. I mean, basically, you know, I was going to join because you were nice to me. And proud of me and got it, that 11 hours without a drink when you could be drinking is long and exhausting, you know. I mean, nobody else is going to get that, but it's long. And one of the things I wasn't into anymore either was opening mail. Mail was not my friend. Mail was bad. Mail was not good. Checks, boxes of checks were good. Mail was bad. I mean, I was starting to get the hang of this. I just received a promotion 3 months before I got sober. I mean, I could function, you know, if that's it. I was in a blackout and landed a hospice contract for the County of San Diego. I'm good. No idea how I did that. I have no experience with that. But apparently, you get enough tequila in me, I can do some business for you. Whoa, you know. I'm like, geez. And I'm sitting there looking at this big desk with this big job with these big papers, realizing, one, I have no idea how to do this job. Two, I have no idea how I got this job. Three, I cannot stay here all day and be here because I'm in AA now. So I quit, you know, because 13-year career in the toilet because I'm sober for 2 weeks and I can't function. Drunk, I can apparently land a hospice contract. Sober, I'm stressed. Sober, I have to be in AA. And that's what I told the director. I said, you know, I'm an alcoholic. She goes, really? I'm bad. Really bad. I joined AA, and I can't work now. I can't work because I'll be being in AA now, you know. I do both things. It's way too much for me. I have to go now and be in AA. What do you do? Oh, well, I'm in AA now. Working all now. I'm going to be ticket girl, though, for 2 more weeks. I'll be ticket girl at Saturday night speakers meeting. And if I play my cards right, I will be in charge of trash at Farragut Circle. Don't let anybody, they want to make you over the 30-day mark for trash, you know, like, can steal the trash. I never had figured out why I need time for trash, you know. It's like, whatever. Anyway. But that's what it was like for me. Funny now, not funny then. Everything that's funny now was not funny then. I was mortified. I thought, ever since I've joined AA, I'm going bonkers. I can't function. I'm coming out of my skin. I'm very nervous. I have to feel every single thing every single day. I have no idea what any feelings are. I'm having a nervous breakdown 24/7, waiting for the next meeting to be in AA some more. I know how to be in AA in between the meetings, and consequently, it's in a lot of meetings. The mail, somebody apparently opened something, but it was all bad news. You know, if you're not going to pay for the house, we're going to take it back. Fine. I'll be in AA. I just don't really work now that I'm in AA, and a ticket girl and a coffee maker now. I mean, I'm into... You know, they were into giving me service commitments. I'm like spinning. The kid said, we're going to go to Coronado while you're in AA because you're not fine. And I said, you know, give me a couple weeks. And they got 2 books. It's not a big program. 12 things they have planned for me to do. And I'm thinking I'll knock it out in a couple weeks. I am really bright and I like to read. You know, so I'm going to knock them out in a couple of weeks. This is not rocket science, people. Look at that. I can do all that in about 5 minutes, really, but making a couple lists is all the real big heavy stuff. You know, I just thought, so when I tell the kids a couple of weeks, I meant it. Never would have occurred to me I would not be better in 2 weeks. Certainly wouldn't have occurred to me I'd be worse. Definitely wouldn't have occurred to me. I mean, I didn't get this. And a lot of people didn't go to this extreme. I didn't quit till it was over. One of the reasons I haven't drank again. I mean, I just drank myself bad. Till it was over. Then I came here willing and have done whatever it took to stay that way. And that's what it was like for me in the beginning. Somebody gave me a 14-foot camping trailer to live in with red shag carpeting, which is not one of my colors. We've just determined that. And a bicycle. A guy named Alan brought me a bicycle. Somebody got me a job making sandwiches in a deli, an old-timer named Jack Ladd, because I couldn't figure out how to get a job without a big car and a phone and a home and a business card and whatever. So he said, "Your mom, you know, you can make sandwiches in a deli." And I stole all the literature and at the Algonquin Club, and I put it in a liquor store bags for to help newcomers. I thought maybe I'm on a mission from God. You know, I don't really. Why would anybody work a minimum wage job? You know, and it's like. And it was too hard for me. I had to have eight people help me be there. I was just a wreck. And I wanted a boyfriend to help me. Boyfriends in AA are very good for new women when they're younger and perkier in AA. Especially if they have a car and a MasterCard, you know, I mean. Because I wanted to be in AA and have God and have service commitments and have a boyfriend. And my sponsor wanted to support that for some reason. She said things like, "You're looking for Prince Charming and he's looking for a princess and you're not one." Ow. True, but ow, you know. You have nothing to offer. Fascinating concept. I was more concerned with what you had to offer. I mean, I'll offer you whatever you got based on what you're giving me, you know. It's just gonna, you know, kind of that give back program, you know. It's just, I couldn't get a boyfriend, and they said, you know, ask God to hold you at night, which, please. I mean, how desperate must one be? You have to not be able to get a boyfriend, think you're having a complete nervous breakdown. You have no working phone. You have to ride a bicycle to Taco Leo's. And if all that's going on in your life, you will pray. God, please hold me tonight or I'll kill myself. It'll be your fault. I'll leave a note. Amen. You know, kind of, dude. So the cracker, this is what I was like. Sober. Drunk, I'm going to pull off some stuff. I got a game going, you know. Drunk, pathetic. Sober is real. I have no props. This is what it's really like. I can't pretend. I certainly couldn't pretend around the people I was around. They could finish my sentences for me. They could do that. And they had me active in service and active with the steps, and it was taking months, and I was, like, not doing better. And even though I was doing better, but I couldn't see that I was doing better, I thought doing better would be gauged on getting my stuff back. The car, the money, the job, the credit cards, the guy, the house in La Mesa. These are things I need to survive. And the best I could get was H&I service commitments. Coffee maker, pick up a newcomer. Carl from the club gave me a red Pinto. Everybody was like, God's sense of humor. Everything was red. You know, I hate red. You have a red place to live in, a red outfit, a red car, red everything, you know. Red tickets at Saturday night, you know. Red, 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 you know. So a lot of times God's presents are in ugly wrapping paper. Everything that was so good for me was ugly and looked horrible and looked hard. I didn't want character building. It's never appealed to me. I want cash, you know, and a fancy car. I'm shallow. I don't want to be close to God and help you. And I mean, if I do that, that's cool, you know, and I do it if nothing else is going on, but it was not what I was going for here. But as a result of these steps, which I'm warning you right now, if you take them, they will change who you are. They changed me. You know, I wanted to change, but I didn't know what it'd look like. And I didn't want to. There was a guy, I'll tell you this really quick. There's a guy named, I think his name was Lewis, and he wore two pairs of suspenders. Was that it, Bobby? Yeah, Lewis. And he was sober longer than God, I think. And he wore two pairs of pants, right, and these suspenders. And when I first met him, I thought he was a newcomer. But I found out he had a lot of time, and he would share, and he had this simple, important message of Alcoholics Anonymous. It makes me just, because I thought, oh my God, I learned a million things from, he wasn't a showboater, he wasn't anything but simple man, very simple man, that loved Alcoholics Anonymous and had a simple way of conveying it. And I thought, I went through this very brief period, I thought, I want to be like Lewis. Then I realized, I'm not deep enough to be like Lewis, you know. I couldn't wear like clothes like that. I have to imagine that. But totally, it started freaking me out. So, obviously, I didn't go for the deep and important card. But that was the kind of stuff that inspired me. It inspired me. I wanted to be a woman of substance. I wanted to be sober. I wanted to be proud of myself. I wanted my kids to count on me. I wanted strong character. Who would have thought? And I kept taking these steps and taking these steps and taking these steps and changing from the inside out. And pretty soon I was making amends and cleaning up the wreckage. And I wasn't making quite as much in the present as I tried to make sober. You know, I just started cutting back on wreckage sober. And cleaning up the wreckage of the past, I started shifting gears. It was amazing. I was impressed with what God could do if you were willing to have him do it. You know, the kids would come home after a few months, back in health care after another few months. I mean, everything kind of just went about in perfect order. I cleaned up a relationship with my dad after years of inventory by being a good daughter. I'm waiting for him to become this great father, and I was supposed to be first. I was supposed to be first in every single amends I made. I had to be a good friend. I had to be a good employee. I had to be a good member of AA. I had to be a good daughter. I had to be a good sister. I had to be a good parent. I have to be a good grandparent to my eight children, five children. I thought I had eight, but that was somebody else's story. I have four children. I have eight grandchildren. I have eight of something, you know. They're from 3 to 24 years old. They've never seen grandma drink either. They think I'm a regular grandma, kind of. I tried snowboarding a couple years ago. That threw them off, but not my sport. Met my Prince Charming, and once I became a princess, and that's when you really don't need anything and you do have something to offer. And you meet somebody of similar quality. It was fascinating. He died unexpectedly, without my permission, I might add. And there were people in this room that helped me get through that, and they know who they are, and I don't know what I would have done without that. That was a bad year. That was a hard year. I already knew how it would turn out. The third step, if taken correctly, and often, I recommit to that a lot. You will always know that it's always going to be okay. It always turns out okay. No matter what it is, it will turn out okay. I promise. It's a promise. I mean, I absolutely knew that. So I already knew how it would turn out. I didn't know what it would feel like while I was getting ready to turn out. I knew to keep my service commitments, that was for sure. I knew to stay busy in Alcoholics Anonymous. Because if you don't feel good or you're having a rough day or whatever your trip is for the moment, real or imagined, it's very easy to check out of here. I've seen that happen. I'm staying in the middle. Smarter. Two heart attacks, open heart surgery, you name it, I've done it. Climbed to the top of Mount Spokane about 3 years ago just to show off with my cardiologist. With one of my granddaughters, you know, who was in college up there, and I thought, it's not that high. It's high. You know, I was like, geez, you know. If I don't die, Jennifer, I said, you know, this will be a cool story. You know, if I die, it's not going to be you tell it, you know. I thought, old lady breaks her hip or, you know, dies in the kitchen, over get tripped over the cat or died parasailing and someplace. I thought that's a better way to go. Some of the kids are home right now. Mark's in my life now, and I do feel blessed. Most of the time, except on the days they don't. You know, I feel blessed. He feels blessed all the time, right? Yeah. Anyway, whatever. We've been playing board games for the last 4 days and eating a lot of food, and kids coming home, they know where I am and what I am and where I'm going and where I've been and where I'm headed, and I am beyond accountable today. I was a taker when I first got here because I was so beyond pathetic. Beyond pathetic. Just pathetic. I was just so dependent on you that all I could do is say, help me, help me, help me. Every time I turned around, I couldn't figure any of this out. I didn't know what the words meant. It was just woo-woo. And I think sometimes when I come out here, it's to say thank you. I always see people that help me be sober, helped me get sober, will help me stay sober, because it's not as easy as it looks sometimes. So that's it. Thanks.